What if you could learn more about your health in under an hour? The Pronuvo Whole Body Scan gives you a comprehensive look at your health, screening for over 500 conditions, including many solid tumors as early as stage one. High-quality imaging, no radiation, no contrast. Book your scan today at Pronuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com. Gain clarity, confidence, and peace of mind with Pronuvo. Invest in your health today. Visit Prenuvo.com. That's Prenuvo.com.
Hello and welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we're talking about Shrinking, season 3, episodes 4 and 5, entitled The Field and Hold Your Horses respectively. I'm Ryan, and with me is Adam, and we're going to shrinky dink all over this place.
Is that what we're going to do? Shrinky dink.
We're going to just bust through doorways, I think, screaming the Indiana Jones theme song, and like we're Harrison Ford, just sort of, you know, nothing's been more on the nose in the history of time.
It was the best thing ever. Da 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 da. He didn't do the whole thing, but you know.
I do wish he followed it up though with like whoever that guy who played Indiana Jones, very talented.
That guy was so that was, he's like, that guy reminds me of me.
Also, handsome.
So handsome.
Handsome little guy.
Well, we are back, and We took a sabbatical last week and the week before. Ryan was in Flo-Rida doing Disney things. I was home working, but we didn't record. So we're getting two episodes today, and then we'll be back on the weekly cadence for Shrinking until the end of the season, I would assume.
That's true. We're also going to be recording the last two episodes of A Knight of the Seven Kingdoms this week as well, so jump over to that later this week, but for right now, talking about Shrinky Dink. So, like I said, doing two episodes, The Field and Hold Your Horsies. And as just a generality up front, is it possible, and this is, I suppose, a rhetorical question for a podcast, which is the best kind of question for a podcast.
Of course, yeah. But, do more.
So is it possible for me to like a show while also acknowledging that it's a bit directionless at the moment and at certain other moments completely losing the plot?
Yes, and I'll tell you why. Because we need shows like this. This is a happy, feel-good show. It is wholesome. Well, feel good is, I guess, subjective depending on your mental state, but it is like a feel good. It's a happy show. Like the cast is so likable and the things that they're going through are so relatable that I think that it works for me, but I also feel the same where it's kind of like, okay, where are we going with this one? What are we doing here?
Yeah, perhaps too relatable. I mean, we've talked about in the past where this show does suffer slightly from the like problem solution. Problem, quippy fun thing, and solution. So there is that. I think it is a bit more focused, the losing the plot part of this, on a few characters than others, which I think we'll get into as we get or talk about the plot. It's just that there are some moments and some characters who I don't even think should be here anymore.
Sure. Yeah, yeah.
At the same time, the future seems really predictable. But I think a point you just made is really salient, which is this is a comfort show. It's a feel good show. This actually is a lot how I was feeling in the last season of Ted Lasso.
Sure.
It's your warm blanket of a show, but every now and again, I was just like, "What are we doing?"
and hopefully, we get the resolution that we're both looking for here, because it would be a bummer if this just kind of fell off the rails. Because it really is a great show, and I think it hits on a very important topics. So don't want to lose that.
No, and I think they are getting to a point where they're going to have to tackle a few pretty tough things. Like, I don't know if they're going to just keep Paul and his health in limbo. Yeah. And when we get to episode 5 here, Jimmy makes a pretty large mistake that I think is going to have, you know, vibrating ramifications with many characters. He hasn't done a very stupid thing in a while, and I think he finally, you know, broke that mold. But for now, let's just talk about the field, episode 4. So in the field, Paul and Jerry, now played by Michael J. Fox, who's not a hologram anymore, but
Hululu Ryan.
He's a Lulu, and Paul is officially back at work, and he does the Indiana Jones theme entrance, as we said before. He's treating Jerry, who was referred to Paul by their shared neurologist, and while talking about the field with Jerry, which is a common theme with Paul and the thing he talks about while he does his job, he sort of figures out or has an epiphany that perhaps he should actually just retire and spend the time he has left with his family, meaning his blood family and found family. You know, after a few weeks off of work and being so, so keen on getting back, the first day back, he was like, oh, actually, no, I liked that other stuff.
Yeah, it was pretty good to like have a life other than work, you know, being able to enjoy my new wife and friends and my estranged now back daughter. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense that he's feeling his way. He's facing his mortality. And he's getting older, man, and he can't do it forever.
Yeah, except for Harrison Ford is immortal and he'll never die.
He's immortal. And speaking of, did you see that speech he did recently at that award show? I can't remember, the SAG award show, I think it was.
No, the only speech I saw from SAG was Seth Rogen's speech about Catherine O'Hara, which was really great.
Yeah, watch the Harrison Ford Lifetime Achievement Award. You'll probably cry. Anyway.
I sort of doubt it. Anyway.
Oh, no, it's good. It's a good one.
Okay, I'll report back next week if I cried or if I'm a heartless heathen.
Yeah, right. Exactly right. That's what you would be. Anyway.
Okay. All the while, Jimmy's field moment is that he is dating again. He goes out on a date with the nurse from episode 3, played by Lisa Gilroy. And she is just going through it when she learns that his wife died and that he has a daughter and that she lost her mom. And I adore this scene, just because I'm a huge fan of Lisa Gilroy and I think she killed it. But at the same time, was thinking like, where is Colby Smulders' character? Have we just strewn that idea to the side? Jimmy feels the most directionless character in the entire show, which is bad because he's being billed as the main character. So he used to be, even with his constant fuck ups, he used to be the North Star for the show, and it sort of doesn't feel that way anymore.
No, and we are starting to see, we brought up Ted Lasso. We're starting to see that for sure, because in Ted Lasso, we were losing Ted. It was a lot more about the side characters. But I think here it weirdly works better than it did in Ted Lasso, because maybe his name isn't the show title, you know?
Sure.
But like this feels way more intentional that we're taking it off of Jimmy, because the other characters are very likable. They have really good stories. They're going through stuff. And Jimmy is still kind of finding himself in his own world that he's trying to get through. But like his daughter going to college, the two guys who have the new daughter, they adopted the daughter. That whole storyline is really good. Derek getting high as a absolute kite in this episode, and like just going through his thing with his son, with his wife. Like, there's a lot of good side stories that are compelling enough, I think, where Jimmy not being the main story is actually fine. I feel fine about it.
Yeah, I'll say Derek getting insanely high in this episode was the highlight for me. They're still trying to figure out a way to get Matthew to take care of himself. They move him into that space that needs to be renovated, say that he has to basically do the work himself. All the while, Derek takes Matthew's candy, which ends up being weed gummies, and like accidentally by eating the whole bag, eats 650 milligrams, and he thinks he's dying. He calls everyone and ends up in the hospital. And so, you know, he obviously the THC doesn't get him, but at the same time, this is a way that it's pointed out to him that he has a small heart issue.
Right.
And, you know, this, again, highlight for me of the episode, because Derek is a great character, but also at the same time, you know, this, you know, getting that high, you know, kind of let him flourish a little bit, while at the same time, I think this also foreshadows some health problems in the near future. And you can add that to the stack of, oh boy, I think things are gonna start going really wrong on this comfort show.
I really hope it's not like really disruptive. I know that would be interesting and different and to some degree unexpected, considering where we've been. But I hope it doesn't go too out of bounds here. I like the safe space kind of.
Listen, I don't think they're going to kill off Derek. I think they're going to give us a scare, but I don't think they're getting there. I actually wonder if by the end of this series, they kill off Paul.
Oh, boy. Like the end of the series or the end of the season?
Series, not season. I don't think we're... I think we're... And we'll talk about this in episode 5, but I think we're marching towards a... Paul headed to Connecticut, perhaps, but getting all dead.
Yeah, I almost wish that if they do decide to make that decision to let Paul go to the other side, it is kind of like a Walter White Breaking Bad moment where he dies in the place that he loves so dearly, even though it's very different, meth versus, you know, a stable home life. But
sure,
like I hope that character send off is as simple and as eloquent as that, I think, if they were to do it. But I think him going off to Connecticut for good seems to be the better play here.
Right. Connecticut is the farm.
Yeah. You know. Right?
Yeah. He's not dead. He went to a farm.
He went to a bar.
And Alice is the meth there. Lab. Yeah. A few other things happen here. Matthew has a fallout with his mom because he walks in while bringing his father some fries because his father is getting better here and hears Liz call him an embarrassment. I'm sure that'll work itself out. I don't know. And then at the same time, my favorite through line of the season, honestly, is my favorite character of this season so far is Gabby, which I didn't think was about to happen. But at the same time, my favorite through line story is Gabby and Maya. Gabby is working with Maya and digs deeper into Maya's loneliness, feeling stuck, and Gabby tries to help her face that feeling rather than numbing it. And this storyline feels good to me. It feels fresh. Oh, yeah. It feels like growth. Gabby is the MVP of the season for me so far. This all feels very real. I loved her yelling at Lewis earlier in the season and now working towards following her dreams while at the same time doing a bit more jimmying than I think she would rather do. But it's working with Maya, or switching it up a little bit. The only thing about her storyline that is a little odd is how Damon Wayans' character is like barely in the show and then pops up every now and again. I just assume he was like shooting a movie or something. But even past that little weird part, every time Gabby is on screen, it feels as though this show has a bit of that season 1, season 2 life to it to me.
I agree. And the Maya storyline is really good. I feel exactly the same about this. But it is, it's Jimmy. It's what Jimmy was doing that she was kind of condemning a little bit in the early season about doing something very radically different with their clients. But it ends up making a more human connection. I mean, we can clearly see here that Maya is struggling immensely with loneliness and depression. And I think it's fair to say that Gabby showing up at the bar trivia probably saved her life, dude.
Oh, shit. For real?
I believe so. Yeah. Oh, I think she was, wow. I think she was there because the way she explained how her friends just kind of don't show up anymore and they have their own lives. And she was super lonely and like her character had her walls up since we've seen her so far.
True.
And Gabby being in the, you know, in the real world with her, I feel like that's the point where she was like, okay, this bitch gets me and understands and opens up, and I'll open up to her. And it's still a professional relationship, but it's definitely more personal now.
Right. As we get to episode 5, Maya is talking to Gabby a bit more at this bar trivia thing. At the same time, Gabby points out to her that she's like that Maya is self-medicating. That's probably not good as well. Gabby is clocking the red flags here, and this is all pushing her further towards perhaps opening a trauma center, which is the character growth that I was talking about. That's fun to watch.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's cool. But then, you know, we get a little bit of a hiccup there, which we'll get into in a few.
Or right now.
We can get in there right now. Yeah, I figure we could go with more timeline for episode 5.
Derek and Derek are sort of behind the scenes, and this is the name of the episode, Hold Your Horsies, talking about, it's brought up to Gabby, like, okay, when are you and Damon Wayans, the person who's barely been here, gonna get married or have kids? At which point Gabby's like, we have Operation Hold Your Horsies, where we're not going to talk about any of that until January 1st 2027, but realizes that you know, things might be moving faster around her than in her mind, and she gets scared, and she almost breaks up with Derek. And then this also creates the moment where she like pulls together the group of superheroes of her friends and family, and they talk in a circle about Gabby and her feelings and her problems, which was a great scene of Gabby working through with the solid group, and Paul once again being just like the Yoda-esque character dropping knowledge. So I really like these moments.
Yeah, and that's what's making this, I think, work for you. It's these little slivers of like incredible, not good. They're incredibly good scenes with incredibly good characters with an actual goal for the end game here. And I feel the same way. That round table one with Gabby's mom and Paul like kind of ganging up on her was really good. Yeah. I really loved that.
And they like both drop the mic metaphorically.
Yeah, we're starting to see Paul really like become very soft and like kind of mushy and open up a lot more and be like a little bit goofy. And I like that.
And this is happening while he is now actively winding down his career and working towards retirement. He's, doing that, it feels good, but at the same time, this is causing a bit of a spiral for Jimmy. Jimmy keeps trying to be useful and is sort of desperate for recognition from Paul. And Gabby basically tells him he's not going to get the big emotional thank you or emotional moment that he's looking for. So once again, a lot of movement that's positive here, but at the same time, we all get the inclination that Jimmy has been a bit stagnant this season, but is on a downturn and is heading towards perhaps some moments that are not his best.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's Yeah, man, I just really love this show. I really do. I feel like I'm gushing about this show similar to how I gushed about Ted Lasso, and I've said that before, about just like everything that's happening really culminates into a really solid product and characters that I actually give a shit about. And we're getting, I mean, you talked earlier about it not being Jimmy as the main character anymore. And I actually really like it here. The more I'm thinking about that, the more I'm liking that he's not the main character, because the other characters are so good and have so much going on that I want more of it. I want to see more of all these people. I want to be part of the family, Ryan.
Yeah, I get that. But I think we're going to be getting a bit more Jimmy here, because Meg,
oh yeah, for sure.
Paul's daughter is in town. She comes to get some family photos for her child's project, which feels like a really long plane ride for a project, but okie doke. And Meg and Jimmy go to Paul's storage unit together. The episode then ends with Meg showing up at Jimmy's and making a bit of an emotional speech, and then them kissing. And
weird.
Jimmy kisses her back. And yeah, this is weird for a few reasons. Like, number one, she says that Paul said yes to coming to Connecticut, where Alice is going to be, by the way. And so, you know, will we go there or see that at the end of the season? Probably. But this feels very desperate on Jimmy's part.
Yeah.
And I had a feeling at the time of like, where the heck is Colby Smulders' character?
Yeah.
And it's obviously weird seeing them together, the Robin and Marshall of it all. But, you know, like, I don't know, it feels jumping around. And then he kisses Meg, which nobody's gonna like.
No, no one's gonna like that. And they said in the episode, and he even brought this up after they kissed, this is not very brother and sister like.
No,
their relationship is very much like sibling-ish, right? Because they share Paul as a pseudo dad. Well, it's her real dad, but like, right. Paul is the fatherly figure for both of them. So yeah, this was weird to me. I don't like it. I'd rather him be back with Lisa Gilroy's character, even though I don't really like her.
Yeah. And this is all the while we're like working towards Alice's graduation, right, where Jeff Daniels is probably going to be back as well.
Oh, right.
And then speaking of Alice, we have a Sean storyline happening in this season. Yeah. Sean and Marisol are back together. And we see sort of a running thread of Sean not wanting to go to a party in this episode, wants to keep working, basically asking if he's boring now. And at the end of this episode, he ends up going to the party. But I will tell you, boy, I don't care about Sean or this storyline. It's at the same time, when he's just like, I work on Fridays, I don't go to parties. And then, and then everyone's like, why can't you do? Come on, Paul, you got a job. A part of me was just like, maybe he doesn't like parties.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not as social as you two, which is fine, by the way.
Maybe this isn't his deal and this is your deal. And perhaps this relationship won't work. I don't know. I don't know if they're... hey, is the show trying to make this relationship work? Or is it just like a fake speed... not even fake, just like...
yeah,
a constructed speed bump for Sean to have because his character doesn't have any more hills to climb unless they make them up.
Yeah, no, I think that might be it. And like the Marisol character, I don't care. Like, I get what they were like. They kind of redeemed it that the previous episode where they were like, we were young and stupid, like it doesn't matter, whatever. I accepted that as being they were a fling, but now it feels really, I don't know. It does feel forced. I don't like it. It's, I just don't care. I really just don't care. Like, I like Sean as a character. I think when he's in scenes with Harrison Ford, when he's in scenes with Jimmy, I think, and Alice, I think that they have good dynamic, but I just don't care about his love life all that much in this season.
Like, I feel as though this time would have been better served focusing in on Brian. We're getting very little Brian this season.
I know, and that's a bummer because I really like his character too.
At the same time, I think the overall ethos of these two episodes especially, but really the season, is like everyone is a little bit stuck. And whether or not, or whether you're stuck doing too much and falling into chaos like Jimmy is, or you're stuck doing nothing, a lot of these characters are entrenching themselves in made up or very real problems, sort of on the exact opposite ends of the spectrum. And we're all just working towards a ending of this season that is probably going to be pretty full of fireworks. I think Paul's going to be mad about the Meg thing. I've had a bunch of people are going to be mad about the Meg thing. And I also think once you inject some Jeff Daniels into that, it's going to explode even more.
Yeah.
And so there are going to be a bit more emotional / relationship rifts injected into this season that haven't been around pretty much all season, other than like Liz and her son, who, you know, whatever.
Yeah, whatever. That is also whatever storyline, really. I like Derek's version of it better than Liz's, I think, weirdly. But yeah, the Jeff Daniels coming back for the end of this season is something I forgot about until you said it again. We really don't know how he's going to react to everything that's going on, how he's going to view everything that's going on, how he's going to interject, because Alice clearly doesn't mind him, right? And she's kind of like the grounding force for Jimmy. But we know that Jimmy has a storied past, we'll say, with his father. So it will be interesting to see how he comes in. And Jeff Daniels, again, a rock star with his craft of acting. And I could see him blowing a gasket in the final episode for some reason, like calling Jimmy out on his shit or something, or being a bad dad. And then Paul swoops in and is the comforting asshole dad, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm also surprised, Ryan, that you didn't bring up one of the best things we've seen in this entire show, which was the Les Miserables scene. Yeah. Now, I messaged you before you watched this episode, and I'm like, dude, there's going to be a scene that you will just be giddy about. You're going to be giddy. Were you giddy?
Of course I was. Yeah. Okay, I mean, we just said like Brian isn't getting a lot, but what he did get in this moment, and him and Jason Segel got to do, is they sang both of the parts of the confrontation with Harrison Ford in the back of the car being like, look at the road, stop doing whatever this is. And then ending it with like, did you guys just make that up? And they're like, yes. Yeah, we did. We made that up.
So something that you may not have known is that they didn't tell Harrison Ford they were going to be doing this while they filmed. So they that just rules. Started. Yeah, they just started doing this. So you could actually see Harrison Ford's face in the back, like genuinely like interested in them doing this in the take. And it makes it that much better that he's literally going like looking at him back and forth, like with such veracity.
Yes. I mean, there's a pretty, and I guess famous clip, famous, I mean like in my phone, perhaps not anybody else's, but like, Jason Segel and Neil Patrick Harris have done this on a talk show in the past. But in this instance, you know, and Jason Segel basically has had this as a party trick, but like the confrontation in Les Mis is so goddamn good. And it's one of my favorite parts of that, one of my favorite musicals. It was a real bummer when, who's that guy? Oh yeah, his name is Russell Crowe.
Oh, Russell Crowe.
And Hugh Jackman did it in the movie, and Russell Crowe's part left something to be desired. But the best part about this was like, You know, Brian and Jimmy do a great rendition of it, and it's something. It's something I put a lot more stock into than I should, just because I love the confrontation and I love Les Mis so much.
No, I think it's their Tony Award winning performance to be on Broadway in the future, maybe. Their audition, we'll say.
When you are doing, or when you're listening to the confrontation,
yeah,
are you Jean Valjean or are you Javert?
Well, I am not as passionate, we'll say, about Les Mis as you're and neither. Our buddy Alex.
Understood. Yes, Alex and I have done this with each other a lot in the past. Where
I forget which one is which, but whatever Jason Segel was doing, whoever that was, Javert?
I think he was doing Jean Valjean, our buddy Alex, he does that part when we do this for only ourselves, and I do Javert. But it's just incredible, and it's I was so psyched that it happened. That was this show is just so weird for me, because it is
so weird.
It is just like a heart monitor that of a person that is falling asleep but also on cocaine. Like, it's like there are such high highs, and then also moments where you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
I don't care, just do the next thing. So it's a little difficult to reconcile, but again, this is why I'm saying, like, it's still a very good show. There are just these moments where I'm like, all right, come on.
Yeah, move it along. That's right. Yeah, I still can't get over, man. The way they film this show is so pretty. This show looks great. It's one of the best looking shows I've ever seen. It's so bright and pastel-y and crispy. And like when they were doing that scene in the car with Harrison Ford, like they're driving down LA streets, and it just looks so good, man. I was just replaying it while you were talking about it. And yeah, aside from the lows that we get, I think it totally redeems itself.
Yeah. I mean,
sorry.
I love it. I love that. And also, by the way, when we're done recording this, in fact, I'm going to be watching Jimmy and Brian singing Les Mis while you tell the fine folks at home about how to find us on the internet. Also, just like, I implore you to learn the Jean Valjean part so that you and I can sing this in the future, and you can know it and you know, you'll learn it in like a second and then be awesome at it, and it'll honestly piss me off. So Adam, tell everybody how to find us on the internet.
Yeah, you can find us on Patreon at thepatreon.com/thehboboiz for one or more dollars a month. You get all this stuff early, ad-free. You also get some Patreon exclusives peppered in throughout the year as we have time to record them. And today we talked about the Master and Commander, Russell Crowe, and The Arrival, which were the two movies that I watched in...
Just Arrival.
Well, yeah, we talked about Master and Commander for like 3 seconds, and then we went really hard into Arrival.
Yeah,
But there are spoilers there, so be careful if you do listen to that. We do spoil the movie if you haven't seen it. But you can get all that stuff early, ad-free. And we also read your name at the end of each and every episode. So we'd like to thank our current patrons, Connor O'Dowd, Jamie Lochner, 6-7, Ryan, force Adam to watch The Pit. Listen, I'll get there.
It's never going to happen. Also, by the way, I'm caught up in The Pit. It's really good.
Brent Ginn.
It's so gross. I keep watching the screen and being like, oh no.
Craig,
no, stop.
Craig, John Chu.
Oh God, gross.
Major Woody. Okay, I figured you'd do something. Butter Nichols, Susan, no, Buffalo Pizzle,
C.
Fritz, and It's Not Eggnog Season Anymore. And thank you, Brent Ginn and Butter Nichols, for being our $5 a month tier patron. We appreciate all of you for donating and supplying us with money to offset the cost of my Adobe subscription, pretty much.
Yeah,
so we appreciate that. And please get us on the HBO Boys Pod, the HBO Boys Podcast on Threads, Instagram, and TikTok. Like I said, in our Patreon exclusives, I posted on Threads and got like the most interaction I've ever gotten on any post about Master and Commander under the movie threads topic. There's tons of really passionate movie TV people over there. Really great community. I am pretty active over there. You know, follow me, like, comment, subscribe. It's a good time over there. But how are we feeling about next episode of Shrinking? What do we think is going to happen the next episode of Shrinking? We left with the kissing scene. Is that going to be left on the table until the final episode?
I don't care. Velzhun, at last, we see each other plain. Monsieur Lemaire, you wear a different shade. And then you would be so Jean Valjean, good. But you didn't know it. But you don't know.
No, you're right. I don't know.
In the future, you're gonna.
I'll do it. I'll figure it out.
Before you say another word, Trevor, before you chain me up like a slave again, listen to me. This is something I must do.
Should I do it like Russell Crowe?
No. No, because Russell Crowe is Javert and I'm Javert.
Oh, yeah.
So you're right. Gonna do it like Hugh Jackman, who does a great Jean Valjean. Yeah, yes, he does the patented Hugh Jackson or Hugh Jackman vibrato the entire time.
Was just insane.
2, 4, 6, 0. My duties to the law.
Ryan will just keep going, so.
You have no right. Come with me, 2, 4, 6, 0, 1. Now the wheel is turned. Sunshine is up now. I am mourning you, Dumbass.